Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, here we are, 9:09. See a story at NOLA.com. Today's National Coffee Day. Well, Hubig's is coming out with a Café au lait flavored pie for a limited time only. Do you like coffee with chicory or not? I hate to hurt anybody's feelings here, but I don't like chicory at all. I just like regular coffee. But anyway, look for that Hubig's pie. Thank you, Ian. Prashant Yadav joins us now, healthcare supply chain expert at the Council on Foreign Relations. Talk about President Trump and tariffs that you heard about in the news. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, Tommy. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thanks for taking the time with us. So tell me, I guess, first off, what these tariffs mean, and then we'll go from there.
So first of all, I think there's a lack of clarity in terms of how they will be operationalized, because the way they were announced was for companies that are not building a plant for manufacturing in the United States, and those are the ones for branded and patented medicines, there would be 100% tariffs. Now, which raises questions in terms of, does the announcement by a company that is building a new plant in the United States sufficient to say they would not be the purview of the tariffs, or will the government verify whether they are building or not? So those are questions. Also, tariffs are usually on a product-by-product basis, not on a company basis. So those are operational details that are yet to be worked out. But assume the case that there are companies that are not building a plant and they come under this purview, then 100% tariff on that is something that will mean that payers, hospitals would have to pass them on to patients in some way or the other, because 100% tariff is large to an extent that it cannot be absorbed by the pharmaceutical company nor by the insurance company or the payer.
So what does that actually look like, for example, with 100% tariffs going into effect today, on October 1st? So what does that mean? Like, can you give me, Prashant, some type of medicines that would apply to, or are the medicines already here? Would it apply only to medicines that are imported after October 1st? Who keeps track of all of this?
Yeah, so not all of those details are currently clear, Tommy, but It would apply to medicines which are branded or patented medicines.
Those are the same, Prashant? Branded and patented are the same?
There could be off-patent medicines which are branded, so that's where the lack of clarity comes from. But let's assume it's only on patented medicines. So these would be the more expensive medicines, which are largely prescription drugs. It would be items such as what we need for oncology, what we need for in-hospital care, what we need for certain chronic conditions. Those would be the kinds of medicines. But the reality is that many of them are made by companies who have announced that they will be manufacturing in the United States. But that doesn't mean they're going to be manufacturing every single medicine in the United States. They've announced that they will be manufacturing some. So now it then amounts to a CBP officer, a Customs and Border Police officer, trying to verify whether the particular product that's coming in is getting manufactured or not. The rules on country of origin in pharmaceutical manufacturing are very tricky. We've had in the past a case of Cetrus LLC a company which was selling to the Department of Defense and claiming that it is manufactured in the U.S., that claim was first refuted in a court of law on grounds that actually all of the active ingredients going into the product were being manufactured in India. And then the court once again ruled later on that it was actually fine to be labeled as made in the United States. So there are issues about also country of origin in how you determine what would you call as a drug that's made in the United States, for the simple reason that lots of things go into making medicines and some may come from outside.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the manufacturing process itself, because is it like a car where you get a piece from here, a piece from there, a little bit of this from here? Can the United States have all of the materials it needs to manufacture these patent medicines? So many questions, Prashant. Do they have to import them from other places? If they have to import them from other places, are those ingredients subject to tariffs as well, or do we know?
Yeah, so I think what is important here is that country of origin laws will have to be super clear and precise in the application of these tariffs. But the two main things that go into making, so when I think about manufacturing process, there is a formulation process step, which is where the medicine is being made into a tablet, a capsule, an oral suspension, whatever form that we eventually take it in. The ingredient that goes into it, which is called the active pharmaceutical ingredient, that's the core, the bulk drug. And alongside with that, other things are added, such as excipients, which are usually meant to keep the product stable, not allowing moisture to be absorbed. So what we see is that for a lot of generic medicines, the active pharmaceutical ingredients come from India or China. And the Section 232 investigation, which is about national security, which triggered the pharmaceutical tariff debate in the U.S., was actually based on the fact that we have a very high degree of concentration of active pharmaceutical ingredients that come from China or India. But that's not the case for patented medicines. Patented medicines are made either in the United States, including their active ingredients, or in some cases, they are manufactured in Ireland, EU, and Puerto Rico. So I think what every your listeners have to keep in mind is that for high-end medicines, we have reasonably well-developed and diversified supply chains with a lot of production already happening in the United States, including for active ingredients. Some, yes, occurs in Europe, and maybe that's the part that a tariff will change. But to what degree, it's hard to say.
There's no doubt, or is there a doubt, as to who would wind up paying these tariffs ultimately?
I think it'll have to be a negotiation between the payer, which will be the insurance companies or employers in some cases, and the pharmaceutical company. And to what degree do pharmaceutical companies absorb the tariff and reduce the price to the payers will depend upon the power equation. In some cases, if there is a drug where there is only one company, there are no substitutes for that product, the company may say, we cannot absorb this tariff. Payers, you have to bear this higher cost. In other instances where a company has a substitute or the product has substitutes, the payer or the insurer or the employer who runs the insurance program might say, we are not going to absorb it entirely. Let's share it in some way. So that's how it will most likely pan out. But I think before that is a bigger question, whether or not the 100% tariff will actually come into effect for all companies, or how will it get determined which companies are under the purview and which companies are not, which products are under the purview, which products are not.
Because you could, and I'm no Prashant Yadav, but you could just buy a piece of land and say, put up a sign that says future site of Eli Lilly plant. And I mean, I guess technically that would be in compliance to avoid the tariff, and you could maybe not really have any plans to build a plant at all, right?
Yes, I think usually the announcements that come out from pharmaceutical companies are vetted by their legal teams and so on. So I think there might be a little bit more due process that they follow before making a public announcement that they are starting construction on a new site. But there's nothing that's legally binding to say in a few years from now, if they say, well, we've discontinued manufacturing site or we've discontinued the construction of the site, there's nothing legally binding on that. But at the same time, I think the bigger question that arises is, if a company says it's manufacturing, and even if we can verify that, yes, they are setting up a new plant, are all of their products then outside this 100% tariff, or only those products which they are saying they will manufacture in a new plant they are setting up? And that's very hard to establish, because usually a single factory makes multiple products. So if I am, in that example that you gave, if I am setting up a new plant and I put up a few cranes and bought a piece of land, mm-hmm. and if I say to the government, okay, I'm going to manufacture 100 different products here, that's extremely hard to establish whether I will indeed manufacture the 100 products or I'll just make one or two.
Mm-hmm. Is this is this a broad policy targeted at a few companies, or one or two companies, or medicine specifically, or is this a broad policy targeted at a lot of different companies and medicines?
From what it seems like, it is targeted towards a lot of companies, but I think given that there has been a bilateral trade agreement between the EU and the U.S., this would essentially apply to companies that are based in the U.K. and companies that are based in Switzerland. So the likelihood is higher that those two countries would be the ones where if a company is based there and manufacturing there and is exporting to the United States. So it would then apply more to Swiss and British companies.
So were these medicines developed in the United States and then they took the manufacturing overseas, or were they developed overseas? And if that's the case, is it fair to ask them to manufacture it in the United States?
Yeah, so some combination, as is the case with many things. So many of the medicines were developed with monies from the United States. Their clinical trials, though, are conducted globally. Some of the companies are headquartered in Switzerland or in the UK. Examples would be Novartis and Roche are headquartered in Switzerland, and AstraZeneca is headquartered in the UK. Mm-hmm. So these companies may have developed in their laboratories that are in the US, but their headquarters are in a different country. So then it raises questions as to, are they bound to manufacture it in the country where they conducted the research, or where their headquarters are located, or where it is best suited for them from a tax optimization standpoint, which is another important consideration in pharmaceutical manufacturing, because companies choose locations for manufacturing where they can optimize their tax payments.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back and we'll talk about the development of a medicine from the supply chain standpoint, because it would seem to me if the taxpayers have their money involved in this, or if they're vested in this, well, then maybe they do have a right or some type of stake in it to say that it should be supplied here. But if not, if it was done in a foreign country, then what's the likelihood, if it's a patent medicine, that the same thing could be done here? And if it was formulated in a different country and is manufactured there, then to put a tariff on it seems punitive to those that are the end users of the medication. But we'll talk about it when we come back. 9:21, Tommy Tucker back in a flash with Prashant Yadav, healthcare supply chain expert at the Council on Foreign Relations, talking about tariffs on prescription drugs here on WWL. All right, 9:27, talking to Prashant Yadav, healthcare supply chain expert at the Council on Foreign Relations. So if you can take me through the anatomy, if you will, of the development of a medication, I'm trying to figure out who's got a stake in this, right? So tell me about the United States government, its involvement with companies that are based outside of the country when it comes to development of patent medications, Prashant, if you can.
Yeah, so I think we have to start by accepting that the U.S. is the largest funder of development of medicine. Some of it is done by private monies that companies spend, but the part that is spent publicly comes from...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
The National Institutes of Health, other research establishments, and other federal government funding programs for the development of a number of medicines. But that doesn't mean that the U.S. is the only funder. European country governments, Japan, and the companies that are based in Europe and Japan also bring their own capital. So it's a combination of money coming from different sources, with U.S. being the largest part of that money. After that, development is carried out by companies in doing clinical trials around the world with different patient populations. A drug is approved by the U.S. FDA or its equivalent counterparts in other countries. And then the payers, which is the insurance companies and other payers, pay for purchasing that drug, right? So that's a system of how the money flow from development to paying for medicines happens. Now, manufacturing in all of this is a choice that companies make unilaterally as to where they want to locate. So I think it is fair to say that the U.S. expects more manufacturing to happen on U.S. soil, both from the standpoint of national security, but also from the standpoint of the money that the U.S. puts into the medicines. The question that comes up is tariff and this kind of a tariff the right instrument to incentivize that, or are there other ways of looking at it? And then the second thing that comes up is that if we expect every single medicine to be made on U.S. soil, then it gets to a race where countries such as other countries in Europe who fund a portion of development, in some cases they might have funded a larger portion of the pie for some medicine, their expectation would then become, we will want this to be manufactured on our soil. And that's not the way we can sustainably run the system. I think what we ought to be thinking about is what measures can bring more manufacturing of medicines, in particular the ones where we have a very high degree of dependence on India and China, onto U.S. production. Tariffs may be a part of that. There might have to be other incentives that the government puts out for them.
What about economies of scale when it comes to manufacturing? Is it practical to manufacture the same medicine in four different countries?
So for medicines which are very large volume selling items, so let's say amoxicillin, an anti-infective antibiotic that we take, or paracetamol or acetaminophen, these are made in extremely large volumes where it is feasible to split the production and have it in multiple locations. But if we are talking about a medicine that is used only in a few thousand patients, such as many of the cell and gene therapies, the latest cancer medicines, mm-hmm. it's not possible to split the production into multiple sites because of the economies of scale. It will increase the cost of production if we say we'll have to manufacture this in two or three plants.
When it comes to, you know, manufacturing here in the United States and how these medicines are put together, is this a labor-intensive thing? Are we talking about employing tons of people here? Because I'm trying to figure out what the incentive is. It sounds good to have manufacturing here, but if most of it's automated and you're employing a dozen people, I don't understand that part of it. Am I missing something?
Yeah, so you're exactly right. It's not a labor-intensive process. It's a capital-intensive process, and much of it depends upon the monies that have to go into building a plant. So while a plant is being built, yes, it does create many jobs because there is labor, construction, electrical equipment, plant commissioning, engineering, all of that has to go into building a plant. But once a plant is ready, the number of people that work in the plant is fairly limited.
So how did the manufacturing get to where it is that President Trump wants to bring it back? I guess that would be the question I have.
Yeah, so there are two things embedded in this. One is the manufacturing that is occurring in Europe, in particular, let's say in Ireland or Switzerland. And that is driven largely by tax incentives, right? So those are countries which provide special tax incentives for companies to locate their production there. As a result, they choose those locations for items where margins are high and they don't want to necessarily end up paying high taxes. The second are products which are made in India and China, and that's largely because they moved there at a time when both labor costs were much lower, and these are smaller, what we call a small molecule generic, so the very basic medicines. There, the amount of labor required is a little bit higher, and also the environmental standards required for making them, which means the discharge that comes out of the factories, the chimneys out of a factory into the air or the effluent discharge into the water stream, those are not as tightly regulated, and which is another reason why some of that manufacturing has moved to India and China. And those are two different kinds of manufacturing plants that we want to bring back to the United States, but we can't bring them back with the same instrument.
So if you bring them back and subject them to higher environmental standards, that means it's going to cost them more to produce, which means ultimately, again, we wind up paying more for the drugs, right?
Yeah, and especially for these generic drugs, because they are almost the bread and butter of modern medicine. We use quite a lot of them. Every infection that a child has uses amoxicillin. Now, if amoxicillin is manufactured largely in China and India, we bring it here, environmental standards are stricter. That would mean we would have to pay a higher price. That price will get passed on to the healthcare system in large numbers.
So what would make sense in terms of supply chain, in terms of national security, in terms of fairness? I guess that's a very subjective term. But what, in your opinion, Prashant, you study this for your life's work, what would make sense? Do tariffs make sense, or would there, if you go to tax incentives, if you're going to do that, well, then you're kind of subsidizing the production. So while we're not paying for it, the taxpayers are paying for it, while the patients aren't paying for it. Tell me what the big picture on this, how you see it.
Yeah, so first is we need to have a very well-defined critical list of medicines that are important for us from a national security standpoint, where we see a very high degree of concentration of production happening in India and China. And for those, we need to give companies the incentive in terms of taxes, but also grants from the government to say, or purchasing guarantees from the government to say, if you set up an amoxicillin manufacturing plant in the U.S., we will buy from you for the next 3 years, next 5 years, so some period of time like that.
But it would have to be longer than that, would it not, Prashant, for that kind of capital investment, more than 3 to 5 years or not?
Depends on what exact molecule. I mean, we can work out the numbers, but in some cases, a 5-year volume guarantee would be sufficient for a company to say, I will. Right. That's one type. Then the second type is where we want to ensure that we continue to have the lead we have as the country that is farthest has an advanced technology for manufacturing. Those would be the kinds of medicines such as cell and gene therapy, advanced cancer therapy, where our objective should be to ensure that what has happened for basic generic medicines, the same cycle doesn't repeat, that manufacturing companies don't choose to go away from the U.S. And in that instance, tariffs or tariffs plus other instruments would suffice to keep the manufacturing within the U.S. That's where many of the new announcements that have come out from the companies are already saying hundreds of billions of dollars will be spent in building new plants for advanced therapy manufacturing in the U.S. So I think that's what we ought to look at. Instead of coupling all medicines in the same umbrella, we've got to nuance and separate them and say, here are our objectives, and what is the best instrument to meet our objectives? And tariffs will be definitely one of those, but not the only one.
Thank you, Prashant. I appreciate your time and your insights. Prashant Yadav, healthcare supply chain expert at the Council on Foreign Relations. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to our friend Walter Dublin, associate professor of economics and finance at my alma mater, UNO, about pharmacy benefit managers, our old nemesis. Right now, time for traffic, WWL. 9:43, 17 till 10. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined now by our friend Walter Dublin, associate professor of economics and finance at my alma mater, UNO. I'm proud to say, how you doing, Dub?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
You got class today or not?
I have a class tonight. Yes.
Tonight. Okay. Let's talk about pharmacy benefit managers and what's going on with the legislature and what's likely to happen.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is a tough one, Tommy. PBMs, or pharmacy benefit managers, are the middlemen between the health plans, the insurance companies, Blue Cross, United, and the manufacturers of drugs, and the pharmacies. And so the PBMs, the manufacturers, negotiate with the pharmacies for a certain price. The PBMs negotiate with the health plans for what price that the health plans are going to pay, and they negotiate with the pharmacies for how much they're going to get paid. So they're in the middle of the whole, pretty much every drug deal, and you know, they have a lot of power, and they're also completely, nobody knows what they do, nobody what prices they charge. None of the people involved know what anybody else is doing. All they know is their own negotiations with the PBM. That does create the possibility, and the particular deal that the governor and the legislature were looking at was that one of the three big pharmacies, there's really three PBMs that control 80% of the market, is also the company that owns CVS pharmacies. And so their concern is, would this pharmacy benefit manager somehow steer all of its customers for the insurance companies to CVS, because they make money if you buy it from CVS instead of buying it from Walgreens. So that kind of market share was one of the main issues that came up. There are several others, but that's kind of the one that's got the most attention.
So what is the state doing? The state's trying to take a contract away from CVS or something? Is that what's going on?
Well, it's simply saying that a PBM should not be owning pharmacies, which, again, you know, there's three big PBMs out there, and CVS is the only one that owns pharmacies. The other ones have other problems in that they, for instance, all three of them are connected to some health plan. CVS also runs an insurance plan through Aetna, and then United Healthcare has a different CVS, and Cigna has a different CVS. So a lot of the insurance companies own interest in a PBM, or vice versa. So they're connected. It's called vertical integration, where the people, the insurance companies that pay for it, the PBMs and the pharmacies are all kind of connected together.
I was in Texas recently, and I thought I saw a CVS clinic in a store, when that really got my attention, because that got me to thinking, well, wait a minute now, it's the pharmacy, it's the clinic, it's a pharmacy benefit manager. Talk about vertical integration. It's sounding like, and I'm a communications major from UNO, sound like the old thing with the movie companies owned the theaters, owned everything else.
Right. And so, yes, in fact, you have CVS and several other Walgreens that I go to does have its own little clinic where they give vaccinations and things of that sort. That's obviously in competition with the urgent cares and the primary care doctors. But again, yeah, they you go in there, they prescribe you the vaccine, and they sell it to you, then they give it to you and charge you for giving it to you.
So is there a doctor?
That's not related to the PBM.
No, I understand that. But yeah, I get that, but it got my attention when I saw it, and it didn't say...
You know. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Now, come and get your vaccination. It said clinics are presumed. They had either a physician or a, physician's assistant there or something? One of these nurse practitioners or something?
A nurse practitioner, most likely. What they usually have there.
So, when it comes to the... Dub, we're having a little bit of a problem here. We got a little technical issue. I'm going to put you on hold for a second. Tim's going to talk to you, and we'll try to straighten it out to see what's going on, because I want to hear what you have to say, and I think it's important. It is not too late to win tickets to the next Saints game when the Black and Gold take on the New York Giants in the Caesars Superdome on October 5th. That's coming up this Sunday. You can score 2 premium tickets to the game, plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group, open bar, premium liquor, all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May, all overlooking Champion Square. Winning's easy. Go to WWL.com/contest. Enter one time every day for your chance to win Saints-Giants tickets from Saints Radio WWL. You can do it today, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. So good luck. Let's hope you win that. Back with Dub Lane, a professor of economics and finance at UNO. He's our go-to guy when it comes to pharmacy benefit managers. So, you know, CVS went on a massive lobbying campaign when this happened at the end of the session last year. It didn't pass because people, I don't know if they understood what they were talking about or not, but what is the landscape likely to look like after this legislative session? Dub, can they do anything about it?
Well, again, I mean, what CVS really did, they said, well, we'll just close all of our pharmacies. Well, obviously, CVS is the biggest pharmacy in the state, so that made a lot of people unhappy. I don't know that they would close their pharmacies, to be honest with you. But again, we're just one little state, and so CVS is not good. CVS would rather fight, you know, our state legislature instead of closing their pharmacies all across the country or selling their interest in the pharmacies they've got. So, You know, this is a case where I don't know that Louisiana is going to win this one. This probably, if we're going to do anything here, this probably needs to be federal legislation.
And we're not likely to see that, are we?
No, because it's very, very hard to say because, I mean, I don't know what political power the PBMs have. I'm sure that they make a lot of money. I was looking into this a little bit more and was thinking of some things that, you know, the problem is, one of the problems with them is they have several ways of making money and that they can charge the pharmacy one price. I mean, they may get the price from the physician, from the manufacturer, and then they charge one price to the insurance company and one price to the patient at the pharmacy, and they can kind of keep the spread in between those. And nobody knows what that is. And that can be different from different things. They also have this problem of they can, because they get the percentage they keep is a percentage of the price of the drug, they can force you know, generics into a higher tier where the patient has to pay more for them, even though the generics are cheaper, because they want them to buy the name brand drugs that have the higher price, because PBMs make more money off the name brand drugs. So there's a lot of things that are very suspicious about the way they operate. And, you know, the policy change that I saw that made the most sense is to make PBMs do one thing, charge a price to use their services, you know, for the health insurances, because the health insurance companies need PBMs. They can't negotiate with 100 different pharmacies. Mm-hmm. I mean, 100 different pharmaceutical manufacturers, and the PBMs do that for them and negotiating with the pharmacy. So the PBMs play a role, but they just have too much possibilities of doing things that raise the prices either to the insurance company, which gets passed along the premiums, or to the patient at the pharmacy. And the other, you know, the big group is they tend to be squeezing out the small family-owned pharmacies.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, too. I was at church yesterday and noticed on the back of the bulletin a mom-and-pop pharmacy that was operating. I don't know how, in this day and age, anybody would either want to get into a mom-and-pop pharmacy or that is sustainable. Thoughts?
Well, again, there's some, obviously, some locally where that seems to affect a lot. It's in smaller towns where Walgreens doesn't want to open up a pharmacy there, and then the little family pharmacy is the only thing they have. Mm-hmm. And they have no bargaining power. And so they really have the squeeze put on them. Yes.
When it comes to, I don't know, this whole healthcare debate, and is this anything that's on the attention of the federal government at all?
There's been there's talk going on. I mean, there's a lot of interest that right now in this, and I haven't seen there's a couple of legislations. Ron Wyden's got some stuff out there, and so does Bernie Sanders. There's a couple of people out there that are raising some issues at the federal level. And I think that's what we really need to have, is that, like, a little state like us, we're not going to get anything. I can pretty much guarantee you that.
So if I'm on a train and I'm looking out the window and I'm trying to figure how we got here, pharmacy benefit managers originally were to negotiate the price down. Then they realized the money that they were saving and they kept it for themselves. Am I accurate there?
No, they just build a hole. I mean, like in almost anything you buy has wholesalers, right? Mm-hmm. Manufacturers don't often sell directly to the retailers. So it's in almost every type of manufacturing, there are wholesalers that buy from the manufacturers and then negotiate and ship it to the retailers. And so that they're really a type of wholesaler.
So
what makes it different than in just a traditional one is that it's not just the manufacturer and the retail outlets involved, which is in this case the manufacturer and the pharmacy. We have a third party, which is the one that's paying for it, is the health insurance.
So,
and I can tell you, I know I have friends in the health insurance industry. They really hate the PBMs.
But
I feel like that there's a problem there.
But you told me that the health benefit managers came about because the insurance companies couldn't negotiate with all the different drug companies, right? But
yeah,
CVS created their own PBM, in essence, to negotiate their own prices.
Yeah, I think what happened, I mean, the PBMs existed because the pharmacies can't negotiate with the drug dealers.
Pharmacies, so that's what I meant.
They really needed the PBM. What happened is that CVS has acquired one of the three big PBMs. They used to be independent. And over time, they've affiliated with the insurance companies like United, Cigna, and with pharmacies like CVS. So those, at one point, they were independent, three independent PBMs. the later the integration happened by acquiring the big, you know, the insurance companies acquiring them, or them acquiring the insurance companies, or acquiring the pharmacies. I don't remember the order in which that happened. Yeah, but they used to not be tied in and vertically integrated. They used to be independent.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it. It's complicated stuff. I understand some of it. Thank you, sir. You did a good job. Walter Dublin, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at my alma mater, UNO. It's Noel's alma mater as well. We'll find out what he's got planned for us when we come back on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.